Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We are back, 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me on this Labor Day. As you know, this is our seventh live and in-person Labor Day show since we've been on the air since 1997. And it's good to be with you again. It's good to continue to be with you. It's great also to have one of the top minds in our brain trust with us, Mr. Bob Dillon-Schneider, who is the president of the Dillon-Schneider Group. He is also the author of a number of books, including 50-plus, including the critical 14 years of your professional life, including Leadership Lessons, Moses CEO, Lessons in Leadership, I should say, by Robert L. Dillon-Schneider. He's our good friend. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's great to be here, especially on Labor Day. Thank you very much.
Happy Labor Day.
Right.
Bob, one of the things that I wanted you and wanted to talk to you about, get you to share some of your thoughts on it. I know you probably got some statistics to back up some of the things that we're going to talk about, is America is an interesting place when it comes to working. America has, I guess maybe the statistics don't bear out what I'm going to say, but it seems to me in talking and traveling around the world a little bit and talking to folks, America has a virtually unparalleled work ethic in the world. And maybe only the Japanese just a little bit edge us out. What do you think?
It is phenomenal. There is an engine in the United States, fundamentally, by the way, driven by small business people, that makes the United States smaller population than many countries. China is smaller than India, smaller than the EU combined, makes the United States a fantastic place, and which really gives us the standard of living which we enjoy. We outpace Europe and Japan dramatically in terms of the gross national product. The average American works 1,792 hours a year. That's compared to Germans, who work 1,446 hours a year. That's 350 hours difference. That's a huge amount difference if you consider the average work week is only 35 hours.
And those numbers are pretty consistent across the EU, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, the same for France, Norway. Norwegians working hard, 1,337 hours.
Wow.
I mean, that is virtually 11 weeks less than we work here in the United States.
I met a young man from Georgia, from the Republic of Georgia, a couple of years ago, and he was so excited about being an entrepreneur, but he was complaining about one thing. When he hired a person to go to work for him, because of the rules of his country, even though Georgia, you know, was a free country now, is a free country now, every employee starts work day one with 6 weeks of vacation. And Bob, if when they show up, when you hire them, if they want to, they can take their 6 weeks immediately. In other words, they can go to work and not come to work for 6 weeks.
It's phenomenal what goes on. I mean, we complain a lot here in the United States about taxes. I don't like paying taxes. But the fact is that European taxation is much, much higher than the United States. In France, 45% of the dollar you make goes to the French government. In the United States, about 29% does. It's dramatic. It's dramatic.
Now,
so it's a lot of fun to be here. It's a lot of fun to be here on Labor Day. And
the Japanese, though, the Japanese
country,
are different.
I think, Jim, the next president of the United States, it's going to be critical, because if he can keep this trend going, we're there.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Japanese outwork us a little bit, don't they?
The Japanese do. They work a little bit harder than we do, and credit to them. But their productivity is much lower than ours.
Their entrepreneurship is in the tank. It's the according to the Kauffman Global Entrepreneurial Monitor, the 10 industrialized nations, the Japanese are the worst in terms of entrepreneurship.
They just don't know how to start new business. America is the best. The proportion of working age population starting or growing a new firm is 10% in the United States, 5% in Europe, less than 2% in Japan.
Why aren't
that
the Japanese?
You, that's all the people listening to your show.
Why aren't the Japanese productive as we are?
I think there's a regimen in society. There's a certain way the Japanese look at life and look at the way they conduct themselves, and it's very difficult for them to break out of that. Mm-hmm. And I feel sorry for them. It's very hard for them to start a new business. There are just not a lot of mom-and-pop businesses in Japan.
Well, we now know that the great Japanese miracle was mostly state-sponsored, wasn't it?
Absolutely. State and bank-sponsored, and the banks are paying for it today.
They are, and they're slowly but surely coming out of that. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Bob some more about Labor Day and about, you know, we've got the labor situation right now. There's a global challenge with how to redirect our workers. It's not just in the United States, it's globally. We're going to ask Bob about that right after these messages. 20 till, stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Robert L. Dillon Schneider. Bob Dillon Schneider is the author of a number of books. I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to go to Amazon or any of the online bookstores, or go to your local store and ask for Bob's books, and especially the new one called 50 Plus Critical Career Decisions for the Rest of Your Life. Those of us who are a little long in the tooth, that book's for us. And let me spell his last name for you in case you're Googling him or putting his name into one of the bookstores online. Dillenschneider. He's one of the reasons I like Bob is he's one of the few guys who has a name longer than mine. And Bob, we're talking about Labor Day.
Yes.
And one of the things that's interesting to me about labor, Bob, and I've been doing this all year long. I've been having what I call an honest debate about jobs on this show. I've had a number of experts on the show over the last several months because early in the year it troubled me that there were some politicians trying to blame other people for what was going on with the job situation in America, when the truth is what's happening is a natural progression of the development of our intellect. We can now move jobs the same way we've been moving capital and information. And that does create winners and losers, but it's like the tide. You're not going to stop that. It's part of our intellect, isn't it?
Well, it absolutely is. And the truth is this outsourcing issue is going to continue, but the really good news is that the jobs that are being created in place of the jobs that are going overseas are better jobs.
Right.
And they're more sophisticated jobs. And that's really why the United States is doing what it's doing.
Somebody reminded me, I think it was Steve Forbes, I can't remember for sure, reminded me that the people who answer phones in India, in Bangalore, India, are doing them on computers and telephone systems that are made in the United States.
They are. And, you know, it's very interesting because I think we're going to see some backlash on this pretty soon, Jim, because the people who are working in Bangalore, India, aren't necessarily doing the same level of work that people in the United States could do. And there's been some discussion about moving some of those call centers back.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's also something that we never hear the people like Lou Dobbs talking about, and that's insourcing. There's a lot of insourcing, too, isn't there?
A lot of insourcing. There's a statistic out there that 80% of the European students who take degrees in the United States don't want to go back to Europe. They want to stay here and work.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's another thing that sort of irritates me, Bob. When I hear politicians talking about how much we're hated around the world, if that's the case, why are so many millions of people trying to come over here?
Well, it's true. We are disliked, though, however, because of Iraq, and we're disliked because we're so successful. It's one of those burdens you have to bear if you're successful.
Well, and you know, another thing I think we ought to point out is when some people say we're disliked around the world, you know, a lot of times they're just talking about France.
They're talking about France, that's correct. And the French really have a way of reflecting their point of view throughout the entire European Union, and they're very good at it.
Well, and they're a little bit, but they're a little having a little bit of a complex because their point of view doesn't have as much gravity as it used to have, does it?
No, it doesn't, and they're going to find themselves in very short order, pretty isolated. That's what's
yeah.
going on.
I think you're right.
The Italians are isolating them.
Well, you just gotten back from the Ambrosetti conference in Italy, haven't you?
Just got back. It was about a 2.5-day long conference. It's one of the best conferences in the world, and Ambrosetti really knows how to do it well. They brought in a lot of Americans. John Ashcroft was there.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden was there. Ralph Reed was there, the former Christian coalition.
Right. And Bob Dylan was there.
I was there, right. A lot of top people from around. 5 Nobel laureates were there. It was really something. And they all talked about what lies ahead. And everybody's concerned about the election. They're really desperately concerned about Bush and Kerry. On the one hand, they want Bush. On the other hand, they don't want Bush. On the one hand, they are very fearful of Kerry because they don't know what he stands for. But on the other hand, they want Kerry because he's an antidote to what they think Bush has done wrong.
Yeah.
It's quite unique what's going on up there.
Well, maybe I'm a neoconservative, and I had never thought of myself as this way, but I just don't believe that we can play patty cake with terrorists. I think we have to, they're like bullies. You have to punch them in the nose to get their attention. And this idea of appeasement, I mean, the Europeans have never been very good with dealing with people like this. They don't have a history of that, do they?
Well, it was very interesting. And again, at Ambrosetti, there were the word appeasement came up in numerous cases. And the issue was, should we try to appease the terrorists and have it go easy on us? Well, some very strong people stood up, some Germans, some Italians, a couple of Israelis stood up and said, we're not going to appease the terrorists.
Yeah.
At the same time, a man from the Arab League named Musa stood up, and he blasted the United States for being the cause of terror. I don't see why we're the cause of terror.
Right.
I think we could be the subject of terror, but not the cause of it.
What did his words, did they allow his words to ring, or did somebody defend us on that?
Well, everybody stood up and shouted him down, but he did make his point, and he was very dramatic. I mean, he made the point that there are 1.7 billion Muslims out there, and we better not deny them. That's what he was saying.
Well, he's right about that.
Yes, he is.
But Bob, I still believe, and I wrote about that, I'm writing about that this week, I still believe that once people could connect across countries, across borders, the way we're doing now, that's got to be a peace dividend that's waiting to happen, and we just have to give it time, it seems to me. But we, in the meantime, we can't appease the terrorists. When we come back, we're going to get Bob Dillersnatter to talk to us a little bit about 911. What's it going to be like from now on in a post-9-1 world? Back, it's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Bob Dillersnatter. Robert L. Dillersnatter is the name on the books that he's written, folks, including Moses CEO, Lessons in Leadership, Critical 14 Years of Your Professional Life, and 50 Plus, Critical Career Decisions for the Rest of Your Life. Those are just three of the books that Bob has written. Ladies and gentlemen, Bob has an outstanding PR firm in New York City, the Dillersnatter Group, and Bob, we thank you for your service to our country and to the marketplace and being a great member of our Brain Trust.
Jim, it's great to be on the show. It's great to participate in this. And, of course, with 9/11 facing us right in the eye, I want to make an offer to people on your show, if that's helpful to you and them.
Okay.
We have a flag, United States flag. It's been thoroughly vetted by the government. And on that flag is imprinted the names of everybody who lost their lives in 9/11.
I have one of those flags, folks. It's magnificent.
If anybody wants the flag, all they have to do is let you know, Jim, and I'll send them the flag.
Wow. And, folks, these are flags that the voices of 911 are getting out, and they're charging for those flags. And, well, thank you for that, Bob.
No charge, though. No charge of people. If your listeners want the flag, no charge.
Folks, I'll tell you what. Here's what you do. Email me at askjim@jbsba.com. AskJim@JBSBA.com. Send us your name and address so we can send the flag. And just say, please send me the 911 flag. Actually, it's called the Voices of September 11 flag. But if you just make some reference to the flag, then we will send it out to you free of charge. And, Bob, thank you for that. I appreciate that. That's a $20 value plus shipping, too. So thank you for that, Bob.
I can't think of anything more important to do on Labor Day, Jim, because that's what it's all about. That's what America is all about.
I agree with you. And, Bob, your office looks right down Park Avenue.
Yes.
At the end of Manhattan, where the twin trade towers used to stand. Your view is a little different than it was 3 years ago, isn't it?
The planes flew right over my office and crashed into the Trade Center. And, of course, the Trade Center is no longer there. But it's being rebuilt. The whole face of Manhattan is being rebuilt. And we're not going to let the terrorists get us down. It's that simple.
What are your thoughts in general about a post-9/11 world? How are we doing and how are we going to be doing?
Well, it's going to be real different, and it already is real different in terms of our travel, in terms of security. Who George Bush puts in charge of Homeland Security in the next election, when he's reelected, and I think he will be, is going to be a critical issue. Lives of all Americans are going to be different. We are going to win the war on terrorism. As Henry Kissinger said last night on the radio, it won't be a war where we declare victory. It'll be a war where just terrorists slow down over time, but it's going to be a 20 or 30 or 40-year battle. These are serious people. They're determined to change our way of life. We're not going to let them do it. That's all there is to it.
Do you think the Russians and the French have a little bit of a different attitude about terrorism now than they did when we were trying to get them to help us in Iraq?
Well, the Russians certainly must have a different attitude.
But the French are too. They've had two journalists captured in Iraq because of the headscarf issue in France.
The French are very unusual people, Jim, and I'm sure there are French listeners on this program, but when it comes to...
I don't think so. I think I've made them all mad at
hell. Well, in appeasement, they're right in the first pew, believe me. They do not want to play tough with the terrorists.
Yeah. You know, General Patton said the only thing worse than having a German division in front of him was a French division behind him.
Yeah, I can understand that. But I think the Russians, after this last weekend, they got religion on this one, believe me.
Well, the Russians don't even know what appeasement means, do they?
No. The Russians, if you cross the Russians, they simply kill you.
That was a terrible tragedy, though. No, don't make any mistake about that. What happened there in Chechnya was a horrible, horrible situation. And you know, doesn't it amplify the difference between terrorists and the rest of the world? The rest of the world values life, and apparently the terrorists don't.
It does. The rest of the world wants to live. They want to make something better. They want to improve the situation. The terrorists don't. They want to bring people down. They want to live in the muck and the mire, and we just can't afford to let that happen. And the great thing that's happening here on Labor Day, the productivity of the United States, the output of the United States, the economic position of the United States, it's happening because of the American worker and principally because of small business.
Absolutely.
And that's what this show's all about.
Somebody's got to pay those American workers, don't they?
They do indeed. That's right.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob Dylan Schneider, for being here. What a great visit we've had. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your service to our nation, to the marketplace, and to our brain trust and to our audience. Thank you,
Jim,
very much.
Thank you very much.
Bob Dylan Schneider, ladies and gentlemen. Robert L. Dylan Schneider, if you're looking for him anywhere online. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.